Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another PC Boys podcast. This is your boy, Logan. I hope you all had a fantastic day, and I also hope you all have a Merry Christmas. So before we get started with today's podcast, which I will discuss kind of what we're going through in just a moment, please do go to the link tree in the description down below. Follow our socials, mainly Instagram and Twitter, or X, as that is where we do most of our advertising whenever we put out new episodes and whatnot, or posters, or, you know, whatever little nuggets is going on, as well as follow or subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to this on YouTube, subscribe. If you're listening to this on an audio platform, please subscribe to us on that platform that you listen to the most, as well as please join the Discord, which is also in the link tree as well. This is the community hub where, of course, you can talk with people that are part of the fan base, and or if you guys want, you know, any kind of topics covered, or movie reviews, or reactions, anything like that, because now that we have the ability to do reactions, please let me know so that way I can get on top of that and do that for you guys, as well as I will start to post some polls as well in the Discord whenever, you know, something comes up that maybe I'm trying to, like, figure out what one do I want to do a podcast on first. And if you are somebody that is interested in me talking about stuff going on online, modern day, you know, dating, things just going on in general in society, politics, whatever it may be, please subscribe to the Rumble channel. I cover a variety of different topics. I give my opinions on things while also discussing what the situation is that's going on. And I like to make that very clear because I don't try to tell people that I'm a news source. I am just a guy with opinions that likes to talk about things. And yes, I do try to back up my arguments with factual information. But at the same time, I do give the logistics of what's going on before I give my opinion. So if that is something that interests you, please go subscribe to the Rumble for that content on PC Boys Uncensored. But without further ado, let's get into today's topic. So we are going to be starting off with two movie reviews. To start off with, we're going to be doing the Five Nights at Freddy's review, and we're going to be doing the Lady Ballers review, and then we'll be moving into talking about Marvel and their lawsuits, and by that I mean the people that work for Marvel that have either had a lawsuit recently end in Jonathan Majors' case, and a lawsuit beginning in Vin Diesel's case. So, starting off, though, with the Five Nights at Freddy's review, I have to say, I'm very impressed with the movie. Now, this obviously, disclaimer, I am a fan of the Five Nights at Freddy's video games. If you're not a fan of the video games, I do not expect you to have either enjoyed this movie or understand what's going on. Because if you're not a fan of Five Nights at Freddy's, all the Easter eggs in this movie, like with Matt, Pat, and some of the other YouTubers like Corey Kenshin and stuff, some references to the games, the Springlock suits, you know, things like that. For people that are not, you know, actual fans of the game franchise, for them, they won't understand why those are big moments and why that matters. But ultimately, as a Five Nights at Freddy's fan, I think this did the games justice, especially in terms of set design. They did an incredible job with the set design of this film. There are some gripes that I have with the film, which I'll get into in a little bit after discussing the positives. So, positives, set design was well, story was really good. Especially they made some changes from the video game. So in the video game, Mike Schmidt's character is the son of William Afton, aka Spring Bonnie / Springtrap. And in this movie, he is just a guy who is trying to support for his sister. Because, you know, their parents are, you know, I think deceased, if I remember that correctly. And he keeps getting kicked out of all these jobs, which leads him to Steve Raglan, the career counselor, aka William Afton. And he gives Mike the job working at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza, which is an abandoned pizzeria. So that's, like, essentially the story setup for this film, rather than the convoluted and complicated lore of the video games. Because obviously in, like, a 2-hour movie at max, you're not going to be able to go through the whole FNAF lore. It's just impossible. But this movie did very well, box office speaking, and they already had announced a trilogy going into this film, and it was made on a very cheap budget, so I'm very excited to see where they go from this, and where the story goes, and, like, what's gonna stay the same from the games, and what they're gonna change. But I do have some gripes with the movie. For all of its, you know, great things, and, oh yeah, the acting was great too. Josh Hutcherson did an amazing job. Obviously, Matthew Lillard playing William Afton did a great job. and the little girl that played Abby did a very decent job. The only character I would say that I wasn't the biggest fan of was Vanessa, and that's not even because I don't like Vanessa's character, it's just she didn't really have much of a reason to be there, and her character at one point in the movie was like, oh, I was trying to warn you and tell you, but she also didn't. She's like, well, I was trying to do it in my own way. It's like, yeah, clearly that didn't work. But yeah, I didn't hate her character, I just think that she was just kind of thrown in there. And then, you know, she's found out to be the daughter of William Afton, which in the, you know, video games, in Security Breach, Vanessa isn't related to William Afton in any regard. She's just a night guard that works in the, Pizzaplex and essentially, ends up having to, like, I guess, be the bad guy, if you will, looking for Gregory and stuff. But yeah, so they did change some things up from the games. I didn't play Security Breach, but, I've watched some gameplay on it, so I know some of the story beats of that. But I'm talking about, like, the old mobile games and stuff like that. I used to play those all the time in middle school. We had, like, a huge community at the school that was into that. But yeah, so, major gripes for the movie. Outside of Vanessa, the movie wasn't scary. You know, when it came to Five Nights at Freddy's, I wasn't expecting, like, a super scary movie, but I was expecting at least some good jump scares, because the whole Five Nights at Freddy's game franchise is based around jump scares, and for anybody that's played the franchise knows how crucial the jump scares are. So the fact that there really wasn't any horror in this movie whatsoever was baffling to me, and I was so mad when on night four the animatronics just became like friendly good guys and they were building a fort together and everything. I was not a fan of that scene whatsoever. That actually took me out of the movie a lot. But without those three flaws, I thought the movie was very solid. If I had to rate this movie in total, I would give it an 8 out of 10. And I know that this movie review isn't as in-depth as most other movie reviews that I've done, but then again, I'm doing two movie reviews on top of a few other topics, so I'm not really gonna get, like, in the nitty-gritty of the film. If I did a whole podcast dedicated to it, I would have, but ultimately, I think I covered everything I needed to about it. But yeah, I thought it was a solid 8. I definitely will not rate the sequel an 8 if it's not scarier. If the sequel does not bring the scares more, then it's definitely gonna go down in rating. But for the first movie, adapting a video game that, you know, is a cult classic among, you know, kids especially, it was a very solid movie. And obviously, if you're not a Five Nights at Freddy's fan and you found the movie boring, or you found the movie to not make sense, I understand you, and those are complete and valid criticisms, because of course, you wouldn't understand everything in the movie or appreciate it because there's no background knowledge to it. It's kind of like watching the MCU when it, like, and the Avengers when it, like, first became a big thing and you were a comic book nerd, right? It'd been, like, the first time that a big team-up movie and stuff happened. So, like, you appreciated it, but even the rest of the world did at that point. But then again, you know, trying to adapt superheroes, which is a much bigger medium, and comic books, which is a much bigger medium than a very niche Five Nights at Freddy's fan base, which it's sizable, but it's nicher than Marvel. So that does say a lot, though, about how good that FNAF did, at least in its theatrical run. But moving on to my second movie review, Lady Ballers. So Lady Ballers and Five Nights at Freddy's are on very opposite ends of the spectrum, because one's a comedy and one is a horror movie. So for those of you that don't know the story behind Lady Ballers, Lady Ballers is a movie created by The Daily Wire and released on Daily Wire Plus. They did try to get a theatrical release, but since the movie had to deal with, you know, making fun of transgender athletes, you know, in particular, transgender women in women's sports, the theaters did not want to touch it. But they released it on Daily Wire Plus, and it did tremendously well, financially speaking. A lot of subscriptions were, you know, purchased that day. There was a significantly positive review, or reviews online from fans. I think it was like at 97% when I saw it last. And then even critically speaking, I think it got to like 60% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. That could be, could have changed. But from what I last checked, it was like 60 or around 60% on Rotten Tomatoes for the critical consensus. And then from the fans consensus, it was like a 97%. Now, obviously, if you are somebody of the transgender community, this movie was obviously not designed or created for that group of people, because it's literally making fun of transgender women in women's sports. But this is a topic that's going on in the real world, and I do find it funny because the movie was actually funny. So, when you hear the Daily Wire behind a movie, right, just as if, like, I hear, like, let's say if the Young Turks decided to make a movie or something, I'm like, oh boy, is this actually gonna be a good film, right? Or is it just gonna be political propaganda? And I won't lie, I'm a conservative, right? You know, I do watch a lot of the Daily Wire, you know, talk show hosts, mainly Michael Knowles, Ben Shapiro, and Candace Owens, and Brett Cooper. But watching the movie, I was very skeptical because I had not watched a Daily Wire movie to that point, even though they had made a few prior hand, just because most of the content didn't interest me. But this was a comedy, and Hollywood hasn't come out with many comedies, and I said, if Hollywood's not going to do it, I can give Daily Wire fucking $13 or whatever it was from a monthly subscription to just watch it, just to see how the movie was. And I had a great time with it. It was actually funny. So essentially, the premise and the plot of the movie is you have this high school coach that won their state division basketball championship years ago. He's now kind of a loser, you know, hasn't won anything in a long time, and everybody makes fun of him. His wife divorces him, and is being raised by, obviously, her mom and her super liberal boyfriend, who kind of looks like, what the fuck's the word that I'm looking for? Like a hippie in a sense, played by Matt Walsh, and his character is so opposite to who he is in real life, it's actually kind of funny. But ultimately, when you look at his character, and you look at, you know, that whole setting there, it's kind of like, oh man, this dude really fell, you know, he really fell from when he was a good high school coach. But yeah, so his daughter ends up going to, like, a super woke school and stuff, which, it's the Daily Wire, so I was expecting, obviously, some jabs, at the left. But after you get through some of that stuff in the very beginning of the movie, there's actually a good premise here. So, you know, he ends up, you know, working, at this bar where he's dressed up as a woman. I can't remember if that was, like, a Halloween theme or something going on there, or maybe it was just, like, the theme of the bar, but he ends up bumping into one of his old, you know, basketball players, and so they end up talking and being like, hey, let's, you know, get the boys back together and play women's sports. And then there's this character, I think her name's Gwen, played by Billy Ray Brandt, who is a YouTube personality who does, like, a bunch of men's content and giving men advice and stuff on dating and whatnot. But anyway, so she comes in playing, like, this journalist, and her whole goal is to have Jeremy Boring's character have his basketball team win the global games or something like that, because they can't use the Olympics for legal reasons. They can't mention the Olympics, so they come up with, like, their own version of that. And so she wants to have his team of men pretending to be women win, so that way she gets, like, this big story and she can break out in her career more. So the whole premise of the movie is basically him getting the guys together to play basketball and pretending to be women and stuff, going on, like, these press tours and stuff like that, and the name of their team is Lady Ballers. And throughout the movie, you start to see, you know, the regret of them taking away all of these young girls' opportunities to actually win and go somewhere, because they're essentially cheating, right? You know, because biologically speaking, men and women are different. So they're dominating all the female competition. They see all these girls crying and having their hearts broken, and there's some sentiment change within the team. And then eventually you get this heart-to-heart moment where Jeremy Boring's character, his daughter, comes in and says, I want to be a boy, you know, like, I want to transition into a boy. And then he asks her why, and she basically exclaims, because, like, boys are all great at all these, like, you know, physical things. And then he explains, yeah, boys are, you know, great at all these physical things, but then he goes on to explain, you know, everything that, you know, what makes women special, what makes them so great to society, and what makes them, you know, a big part of society in a very important, crucial way, like building community, and, you know, being able to obviously, like, you know, have a kid and stuff, and being able to be very, you know, apathetic and essentially, like, making the world, because sure, like, the men can do all these physical things, but without the heart and soul of the world, which would be, you know, women in the case of what he's telling his daughter, like, without the heart and soul, like, there would be no world for the guys to be good at anything in, right? So, you know, he has his heart-to-heart with the daughter, you know, his daughter ends up, obviously, you know, changing her mind and stuff, and then he ends up going on the court and telling his team to get off the court. And at the end of the movie, they're getting their ass kicked by another team of men pretending to be women, which I think is absolutely funny. They're called the Cowgirls, which I think is funny because that's what we call Dallas Cowboy fans or Dallas Cowboys in general. But anyways, so yeah, it was very funny. And then you have all the little girls come in at the very end of the movie and play against the Cowgirls. And, you know, they obviously, you know, let the little girls, you know, play basketball and score hoops and stuff. And it's like a nice heartwarming ending. And it was very well done. And it was funny, because obviously everything that they're making fun of, like, makes sense, right? In the modern world, there are just some things that are delusional. Like, if you think that women and men are not different physiologically, like, that's a funny concept. Because, I mean, it's irrefutable evidence. I mean, that's proven by science in and of itself. But, the movie gave me, like, The Ringer vibes. If any of you guys watched The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville, the premise of that movie was Johnny Knoxville has an uncle that bets a lot. He loses a lot of bets. He owes this guy money. And, so he goes to his nephew and says, hey, look, I need you to go into the Special Olympics. I need you to pretend that you're mentally disabled, and I'm gonna bet on you in the Special Olympics to win so I can win all this money and pay this guy back, and then I'm out of my debt. And so Jeffrey ends up going in, and he ends up calling himself, you know, Jeffy, and he ends up making, you know, like, obviously dominating the competitions and stuff, and then he ends up, you know, becoming friends with, you know, with people there, with some of the athletes. He ends up falling in love with this girl, Lynn, and then at the very end, you know, he ends up giving, his medal to Thomas and stuff, and then he ends up, you know, like, confessing, like, he lied the whole time and stuff, and then he ends up walking off, and, you know, obviously, you know, Lynn's very mad with him and stuff for lying to her and everything. And then there's a flash forward and everybody ends up making up and stuff. And, which is very nice, but it gave me like the Ringer vibes in terms of, comedy, right? Like an early 2000s comedy. And I liked it. And obviously, yeah, there's going to be people that are offended by it. There are going to be people that don't like it. But at the end of the day, comedy is about making fun of people and situations in life. That's the whole point of comedy. If you can't laugh at yourself, right, then what's the point of comedy? Like, I've watched so many comedians, and I'm a Catholic, make fun of Christians or Catholic priests and stuff like that, and I laugh my ass off. I don't take it seriously. Like, who cares, right? It's comedy. Nobody's safe when it comes to comedy. So I thought the movie was very well done. I thought it had a very, you know, funny movie with funny jokes that landed most of the time. Yeah, there was obviously the whole, like, making fun of the left thing. What else do you expect from a Daily Wire movie? You know what you're getting into. But also, it just had a heartwarming story, you know? So ultimately, I did end up enjoying the story by the very end. And I would give the movie a solid, like, 7.5 out of 10. I don't think it's the best comedy I've ever watched. Like, it's very hard to beat movies like Superbad, American Pie 2, and, the first 21 Jump Street. It's very hard to beat those for me. Like, I love those movies so much. I have so many fond memories of watching those films. But, yeah, no, it's not the best comedy movie I've ever watched, but I think for Daily Wire standards, it's good. And also, it's good for the market, right? Disney hasn't been creating a lot of good movies, and the Daily Wire's making their own Snow White, obviously, to combat Disney Snow White. And while I don't think the Daily Wire is going to outsell Disney by any stretch of the imagination, by having a new competitor come up and actually start to gain traction in that, you know, in that competition area when it comes to filmmaking and TV and stuff like that, that's going to only make Disney want to be better and to do better. So I think it's good all around for everybody to have, you know, the Daily Wire make projects that are actually, you know, good and interesting. It doesn't mean everything they make is going to be good. I mean, that's just how it is. But I think giving the Daily Wire a chance, or at least seeing what they have for content rather than just saying it's conservative propaganda, like I said, it all depends on what movie you watch, too. I am excited for the Snow White, because I'm going to be watching Daily Wire Snow White and Disney Snow White, and I'm going to be comparing the two while giving a review of the two at the same time. So that's going to be fun. So if you guys want me to, you know, are excited for me to compare both Snow Whites, even though I'm not a Disney fan or a Disney, you know, princess fan or anything like that, I still want to compare these two movies because it's actually, like, big conversation right now. But yeah, so that's all I really have for my movie reviews. So Five Nights at Freddy's, solid 8 out of 10. Lady Ballers, solid 7.5 out of 10. Enjoyable. I recommend both. Up to you if you guys want to watch them, for better or for worse. But now let's get into the big topics of the day, which is Jonathan Majors finishing up his lawsuit and Vin Diesel getting a lawsuit of his own. So, Jonathan Majors ended up being found guilty on 2 misdemeanor charges, but still it had to do with, of course, you know, like sexual assault and whatnot. So Disney ended up firing him. And this, of course, puts them in a very interesting position when it comes to Kang. I've heard quite a few different things about Kang and what they're going to be doing with him. There's been some people saying Kang is going to be recasted. There are some people saying they're just going to do away with Kang. Now, I don't have any official information on is Kang coming back, or is Kang not coming back. I have no idea whatsoever what Disney's plan is on that. But let me give my take here on what I think they should do. So, I think they should recast Kang. I mean, they've already recasted, right, the Hulk before. They've already recasted, or they have recasted Thaddeus Ross recently because of William Hurt's death. And now, of course, you will have, Henry Ford taking over, whatever the fuck. You know who I'm talking about, right? Maybe not Henry Ford. Fuck. My brain is so, like, going a million miles a minute right now that I'm forgetting people's names. Oh, jeez. Anyways, you get the point of what I'm saying, right? The guy I played Han Solo. All right. There we go. Normally, I know people's names right off the top of my head, but it's been quite the morning so far. But yeah. So he'll be, taking over the Captain America version of Thaddeus Ross, but the MCU, my point being, they have recasted people before. Why not recast Kang? We've already had variants of Kang. I swear to fuck if Marvel pivots over to fucking Doctor Doom, arguably the best Marvel villain of all time, without giving him an actual proper introduction, I will fucking hate the next Avengers movie. On that premise alone. Because it makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense. If you're gonna take a character like Doctor Doom, build him up properly. Don't just shoehorn him in because you fired Jonathan Majors. Recast Kang. I think that's what Marvel is doing, but I've heard some reports that they're not gonna do that and that they're trying to go away from Kang. Just recast Kang, okay? Give us a version of Kang that's super OP that are gonna fuck up the Avengers. I don't think it's that hard. Come on, Marvel, that's not that hard to write. Just recast him. But in terms of Jonathan Majors, you know, it's really unfortunate to hear that he was found guilty of any charges. Obviously, the 2 more serious charges were dropped, but it's still very unfortunate. If you are somebody in Hollywood or you plan to go to Hollywood, maybe don't do stupid shit, you know? But yeah, when it comes down to these kinds of allegations and stuff, you have to wait till they go through the court process before you can actually have a verdict. Which leads us into, actually, the second court case, the Vin Diesel case. So this actually appeared on my feed yesterday. I was scrolling through YouTube and stuff, as I normally am, and it was talking about Vin Diesel got a sexual assault and battery, suit going against him, except I think it's civil, not criminal, and this apparently happened in 2010. So, Variety is the one that I read from, but I believe Vanity Fair is the one that broke the story first on the lawsuit. But in Variety's article, the one I have on screen, they basically explain how, like, Vin Diesel had, like, this assistant that she was invited up to his room, and he essentially, like, held her against the wall and decided to masturbate and stuff with her right there, and a bunch of other things, right? So ultimately, a lot of things happened, right? A lot of shit happened that was pretty gross and disgusting. Could this obviously be false? Could this be not real? Absolutely. I'm not going to say Vin Diesel's guilty, because I don't fucking know. This is an accusation, after all. But it's important to know that if this is true, Vin Diesel should not be able to be in Hollywood ever again. Because the way, like, the things that were explained here, and how he acted towards this woman, groping her and stuff, like, is disgusting. And I think any man would obviously agree with me, especially good men, would obviously agree, like, this is fucking disgusting and this is heinous. And if this turns out to be true, that he should be persecuted to the furthest extent of the law possible. But if this is false, and this is not, like, this didn't actually happen, and this was all made up and fabricated, then I think that the lady who, of course, accused him should also get, you know, whatever punishment would be acceptable, because it is a civil case, so it's not criminal. But, you know, obviously you have to pay him a lot of money in damages, or he countersues her for defamation or whatever. So, ultimately, we'll obviously wait to see if this comes out to be true. Another part in this whole allegation thing is apparently Vin Diesel's sister, after the whole confrontation and everything, like a few hours later, fired her straight up and just discarded her. So, yeah, it doesn't look very good for Vin Diesel and his sister right now in terms of this lawsuit, but obviously mainly Vin Diesel. But we don't know if this is true or not. I hope it's not true. Obviously, even with the Jonathan Major case, I hoped it wasn't true. You never hope that any of these things are true because of how heinous the things are that are inside of the lawsuits. But hopefully this isn't true. In terms of Jonathan Major's case, you know, justice has been served, obviously. And he's going to be probably facing some jail time, by the sounds of it, from what I was reading. But when it comes to the Vin Diesel case, we're just going to have to wait and see how this one plays out. But yeah, I guess Marvel is finding themselves in situations now where they've hired a bunch of people that apparently have some interesting history. But then again, there's been a lot more accusations lately that have been obviously made, but there's also been a lot more accusations that have been proven to be false lately too, so there's kind of like an increase of both things going on right now amongst Hollywood and lawsuits, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens here. And if you are somebody that jumps on, like, either the defense train or the hate train without, the guilty train without any actual evidence, you guys need to understand you have to wait for evidence to come out before you can actually take a full side stance on this. I mean, you could choose to take a stance prior hand, but if you end up found out to being on the wrong side, then you kind of get clowned on. And I think, you know, when it comes to innocent till proven guilty, you should always assume the person's innocent until there is enough evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt that the person is guilty. That's just basic, law procedure. But yeah, we'll just wait and see what happens. And I'll update you guys on the story as I did with Jonathan Majors and talking about his stuff. But his stuff was updating on the Daily Guys, where it was like, I can't fucking keep up with this shit. But yeah, so that's essentially the status of Jonathan Majors, case and it being closed, and he's now fired from Marvel, and now Vin Diesel has a case against him, and they're looking into him. So that's ultimately what's going on right now. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the Insomniac leaks as well. So for those of you that don't know, Insomniac Games recently had this huge cyber attack, where a bunch of personal details of people working there and previously working there, as well as like private contractors and stuff like that, and future game titles were released to the public. So according to what we got our hands on, we're getting Spider-Man 3, which nobody really doubted, Wolverine, Marvel's Wolverine, an X-Men game, and a standalone Venom game. So there are quite a few projects coming down the pipeline, as well as some other projects to be announced yet, or to be determined. Look, all I gotta say is I'm very excited for Marvel's Wolverine. I'm very excited for Marvel's Venom, which it seems like the Venom one is coming out before Marvel's Wolverine, which would make sense. They already have the Venom model. They already have some of Venom's abilities and stuff. And they already have Venom voice lines, because Tony Todd actually came out, I believe, not in an interview, but he was, I believe, at like one of the Comic-Cons or something going on, and he basically explained that Insomniac cut out like 95% of his voice lines, so I think they're going to use that for his own standalone game. So I think they might have done a double whammy. They just got him in and just decided to record voice lines for a Venom game and for Spider-Man 2 all in one. But I'm excited for all this stuff. I can't wait to see what Insomniac Games cooks up next. Spider-Man 2, the more I've been playing it and replaying it, I just kind of been a little bit disappointed. I don't know. Like, I enjoy the game. I think it's got a good story and stuff. I just think some of the elements of what they did, like with Black Cat having a girlfriend, just kind of came out of left field for me. And I was just like, why? As well as that, you know, Venom being hairy and stuff, like, some of it is good and some of it I don't like. Obviously, we all like Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock's our Venom. I would say for the most part, if you talk to most Venom fans. The game was fine. It's just, ultimately, I think some aspects of it could have been changed. You know, when we talk about Miles Morales in the game, I think Miles was underutilized in Spider-Man 2. I don't think his story was as strong. Some people disagree with that completely. But ultimately, I think they could have done more with Miles in that game. But yeah, so there was a leak in Insomniac. A lot of things were revealed, which gets me excited, obviously, at, you know, the most recent Game Awards. Blade was announced from Arkane Studios, so I don't know if that's going to be a Marvel-exclusive game to Xbox, or if they're going to make that a multi-plat game like Guardians of the Galaxy, even though that was done by Square Enix, the same people that were behind the Marvel's Avengers title. I don't know. There's also, like, a Marvel Iron Man game in the works, a Marvel Captain America and Black Panther game in the works, another Black Panther game in the works, as well as, or is that it? I think that might be it. So, you have other games like that that are in the works, and I think those are being done by, like, EA and stuff like that. So there's a bunch of Marvel projects going on right now in terms of the gaming industry, which I think is a good thing. I think more Marvel is great. But we'll just have to wait and see what the execution on these games are, ultimately. Thank you all for watching the video. I hope you all enjoyed. To give you guys kind of a teaser as to what we're going to be doing on Rumble next. So, on Rumble, I've been trying, since the last episode, to look at some very interesting stuff to talk about. Nothing political or anything. Something, you know, maybe fun. And I was kind of thinking, as to maybe doing, like, going and doing, like, reactions to things. So, for instance, maybe some of you guys know who, like, Strawberry Park is and stuff like that with, like, Rhino and Noah Boat and stuff. I was thinking we could, like, watch, like, Jubilee videos and stuff and react to them and just kind of have, like, a fun video for the Christmas season. Obviously, I would not record this video till probably either tomorrow or earlier Sunday afternoon. But I wanna have a fun video to put up for Christmas. You know, I don't want anything that's going to be very, I guess you could say, like, politically heavy or anything like that. Just something fun. So I was thinking about doing that. Please let me know via the Discord if you guys like that idea. I'll actually put up a poll right after I, you know, get done with recording this. But yeah, I'll put that up, see what you guys think about it. And like I said, I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. I can't wait to, you know, talk to you guys more about Marvel and stuff. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to Spider-Man because there's a lot of changes going on with that project in and of itself. Echo's coming up here on January 9th. So, you know, we're almost to Echo and I'm very excited about that as well. And we'll obviously be doing a review and stuff of that here. But thank you very much for watching. I hope you all enjoyed and I will catch you all in the next one.